In case I had you confused for a moment, the liturgical law allows us to do a continuous reading if for some reason an essential part of the passage got skipped. We can go back and add that. So we've been working through the sixth chapter of John, but last Sunday was the Solemnity of the Assumption, so we kind of replaced that reading with that solemnity. So I just went back so that we could hear the context of this great controversy that Jesus finds himself in today. Our readings indicate a decision point from Joshua, who has led his people into the promised land, the land that was part of the covenant that God had established with the people of Israel. And now he calls the people to make a commitment, make a decision. It says, who will you follow? Who will you serve? Is it the God that your fathers, the God that your fathers worshipped beyond the river? In other words, before we came into the promised land? Or will you serve the God of the Amorites, the people among whom we are now mixed here? He calls them to a decision. Now, usually the decision points in our lives are subtle and implicit, right? They're a matter of day to day. But now, Joshua is calling them to a clear and explicit act of faith, act of devotion. Whom will you follow? The same reality is present in our gospel reading, in this encounter of Jesus and his disciples in the synagogue in Capernaum. He's been teaching them about what, you know, they desire another miracle. They desire Jesus to feed them. And he's trying to raise their sights to a different kind of food, this bread from heaven, this bread that leads to eternal life. And he had just said that this bread that he will give is his flesh for the life of the world. They were already confused about his teaching, but now they start to fight among each other. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They're offended by what he's saying. They find it, frankly, disgusting. And Jesus, at that point, imagine that he has to raise his voice because they're quarreling, they're fighting with each other. He says, amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. They're not eating up what he's saying. And instead of backtracking, he goes even further with his teaching. Unless they be confused about who the Son of Man is and the flesh and the blood that he is offering, he says, my flesh is true food. My blood is true drink. Feed on me, and you will have life because of me. The disciples who are listening, no, it's the disciples of Jesus, not just passers-by, not just people who are curious, but people who had been following Jesus, listening to his teachings, witnessing his miracles. They say, this saying is hard. Who can accept it? Jesus knows that it's difficult, that they are murmuring. And he says, does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. See, he's given multiple opportunities to kind of backtrack on what he has said. To say, no, 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 you're misinterpreting it. It's a metaphor. It's a symbol. But Jesus does not do that. If he were speaking in symbolic language, why would they be so shocked? Why would they be so horrified? We typically get it when someone's speaking in metaphors. And Jesus does that in other places, and they got it. But here, they are shocked and horrified by what he says. And though he's given these multiple opportunities to backtrack, he does not. He continues to press on in this teaching. And so, what does he mean? He risks at this point, as we know, losing many of his followers. In fact, many walk away. So you would think, well, he's incentivized to change his teaching so that they'll stay. But he won't do it. Eat my flesh. Drink my blood. But we have this enigma here. When Jesus is trying to address the confusion of his disciples, their difficulty in accepting what he's saying, he says it is the spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. There's that same word again, flesh. Whereas before he said, eat my flesh and you'll have life, now he's saying the flesh is of no avail, only the spirit gives life. So what does he mean? Does he mean flesh in the same way that he meant before? In that physical sense that they understood it? That his body? Well, clearly not, because that doesn't explain any of their reaction to what's going on. Jesus means it here in the same sense that St. Paul would mean it when he talks about living by the Spirit or living by the flesh. That these two are opposed to each other. St. Paul there is not talking about two different parts of the human being, like a dualistic sense that the body and the soul are at war with each other. What he means is two different attitudes, two different ways of living. To live by the Spirit is to live by trust and by faith in God, by obedience to Him. To live by the flesh, he defines it in this way. It means hostility towards God. Resisting God. Seeing God as our enemy. So it's in this sense that Jesus uses this phrase. So he's saying it is the Spirit that gives life. Living by the Spirit is how you find life. While the flesh is of no avail. Living by the flesh will not give you life. This is just consistent with what he has been saying throughout this whole discourse. He's saying, if you just see me in a fleshly, earthly sense, of course I'm not to be believed. An earthly person couldn't say these things and be believed. Only one from heaven, only one who comes from the Spirit. This is what he's been saying the whole time. I am the one who came down from heaven. I give you the true bread from heaven. He's speaking of his origin. And if they acknowledge and recognize his origin, only then can they acknowledge and accept his teaching. But they're struggling. So the one from heaven, we know from reading the scriptures, what he says has an effect. What he says is, he says, be healed, and someone is healed. He says, be gone, and someone is freed from the oppression of the evil spirits. He says, get up, and a dead person is raised. What he says is. And so if we believe that he has this divine origin and divine power, if we have that faith, if we recognize his authority, only then can we recognize the truth of this teaching and accept it. That what he says comes to be. And at the night of the Last Supper, when he said, this is my body and this is my blood, that what he said truly came to be. Clearly this teaching, then and now, is a decisive teaching. It's a decision point for us as Christians. and Catholics. In Jesus' day, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life. Disciples no more. And even the 12, even his hand-picked apostles who have been with him all of this time, they question it as well. Jesus turns to them, "Do you also want to leave?" It seems that perhaps they do. But Peter answers for them, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe." So the decision point, right, as I mentioned, it's not always so explicit. Oftentimes it's subtle and implicit. The decision point might be, do you set your alarm on Saturday night so you get up for Mass? It might be, do I have real faith that when I come to Mass, I'm hearing the very Word of God, the words of eternal life? And if so, with what attention do I hear them? With what attention do I listen and prepare so that my heart would be like that fertile soil that the seed of the Word can fall upon and grow? It's the subtle and implicit decisions that we make if we truly believe that we receive God in the Eucharist, Jesus Christ, body and blood, soul and divinity. If His lifeblood is given to us, how would we prepare? How would we approach Him? What small and subtle actions would we be taking to acknowledge and profess that? If we live by the Spirit, we live in obedience and submission to the revealed truth of God, to His will for our lives. If we live by the flesh, we live in disobedience, in hostility towards God and His revelation and the church that He has given us. If we live by the Spirit, Jesus says, we can recognize this gift that He offers us in His body and blood. We can trust the church's teaching about the sacredness of Sunday and the Mass. We can believe the words of Jesus, that it is His body and His blood. But if we're living in the flesh, the worldly attitude, then we'll say to ourselves, oh, I can worship God wherever I want and however I want. Other things might become more important to me than going to Mass on a particular Sunday. Or I might be too tired. Who can abide all those teachings anyway? It's so hard. Today, in fact every day, is a decision point for us. In those subtle ways. What do you decide? Who will you trust? Who will you follow? Decide today whom you will serve. Will you serve the man from heaven who gives us his flesh to eat? Or will you serve your own sinful flesh in its hostility to God? Jesus turns to us. Do you want to leave? May we be like Peter and respond, Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe.